Welcome to the Path to Podcast Success. My name is Evan Johnson, and I want to share with you how to develop and maintain a successful podcast. My guests and I will discuss all things podcasting and how your podcast can become an essential part of your business. That means more revenue, better relationships with your audience, and so much more. If you haven't already, check out our website at ipodcastedit.com and enter your email address to get each episode delivered directly to your inbox, along with some other free information I'm sure you'll find useful. Get ready to turn on your mic and join me on the path to podcast success. All right, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Path to Podcast Success. Today, we have Jason Priest on the podcast today, and I am very excited about our conversation. Jason Priest is the founder of Dad Bod Health and is a registered nurse, personal trainer, health coach, and fitness nutrition specialist. Jason is extremely passionate about health and wellness and was featured in Men's Health for his own body transformation. As a father, Jason always tries to lead by example, and he is on a mission to change the lives of 1 million men so they can become the leaders of their family in every aspect. Jason is also a contributor at Future Sharks and Thrive Global and is the host of the Dad Bod Pod podcast. I had a really, really great conversation with Jason, and I hope you enjoy. Okay, Jason, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me.
I like to start off in the same place with all of my guests, and that is by asking, what was your biggest fear of podcasting when you first were starting out, and did that fear actually end up coming true?
I guess to answer your question, man, I didn't really have a ton of fear going in just because I'd already been doing a lot of live videos and a lot of video content leading up to my podcast. So but I would say probably my biggest fear was, you know, finding good guests and probably not saying things that I regret during my show. You know, I'm a pretty pretty honest guy and I'm pretty transparent with my audience. And I got to the point where I just didn't care anymore. I was like, you know what? Like, I'm gonna say what I say, and if somebody's offended, somebody's offended, and they move on, right? Like, if I don't need to be, you know, my theory is that I don't need to be everybody's cup of tea. I just need to be a small group of people's shot of whiskey. And so with that being said, you know, those were probably my two biggest kind of limiting beliefs. But to answer your question, did those fears come to fruition? You know, for me, again, you know, with the transparency with my audience, I'd already been doing a lot of live video. There was already people that were fans of me in terms of tuning into my podcast. And so I'm not big on profanity, but I don't hold back either. So my show is not filled with cuss words, but I kind of try to go off of, you know, the emotions of my guests. So the way that I have my show constructed is I do one solo episode, and then I do an interview, and then I just rotate like that. So I do two episodes a week. And, you know, if my guest is cussing a lot, you know, I'll play off of those emotions. But yeah, man, I think it's really, once I got comfortable with the platform and really addressing my audience and knowing what their wants and desires were out of the content that I was providing, you know, it got pretty easy in terms of recording the actual show. Now, the production side of things is a whole nother story. And we talk about that, but those were my two biggest, probably maybe not fears, but limiting beliefs.
Right. And it sounds like, you know, after you got started, the course began to correct itself based on how your audience responded and what they wanted to hear and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, when you start getting feedback from your audience and most of it is positive feedback, like, hey, man, this is awesome. I'm so glad I found your show, so on and so forth. You know, the pressure or the weight on your shoulders just reduces significantly, and you just become more natural with it. And I think I'm, you know, we had to do a relaunch of my show. And so I've probably done the number, like with the relaunch, the numbers are off a little bit, but I'm probably up to episode 40-ish, closing on 50. And so it just comes natural to me now.
Right. Do you do, so you said you do one solo, one interview. Is that once a week alternating or two episodes a week?
No, they're two episodes a week. Yeah. So I have an episode that my guest interview always comes out on Sunday. And then my solo episode always comes out on Wednesday. And, you know, it's been quite the journey in terms of staggering those and really kind of figuring out schedules and calendars. You know, I work with a lot of bigger names, bigger name influencers in terms of my show. And so, you know, it's not always convenient because I can't choose their calendar for them. And so that comes into a play a little bit, but it's been easy, not easy, but it's been, the process itself has been much more simple once I figured out kind of the structure that I was going to follow.
Right. Okay. And so it sounds like you mentioned you already had kind of an audience before you actually launched your podcast.
Yeah. You know, I'd been consistent with my social media posting for, probably a solid 6 months. When I say consistent, several times a day on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, and a little bit of Twitter, which my audience isn't that large on Twitter. Couple thousand, 2,500 people or so. So, you know, really building that credibility online was key before I launched, because people knew that I had a voice and they knew that I had value to provide. And so I think having laying that foundation before I launched was certainly part of the key to having some success early on.
And were you thinking about that then when you began to build your audience on social media?
I wasn't. Or? Yeah, no, I didn't. It just kind of happened that way. I didn't really put a long-term game plan in place, but I kind of lucked out in the way that it worked out.
Right, okay. So let's transition a little bit into your business as it relates to podcasting. Now, I've been excited to be able to talk with you about this because I love your message. Health is extremely important, but it's very difficult to get past, you know, the food cravings and wanting certain foods that may not be the healthiest. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So just health in general, I love that message. So I wanted to ask, how does the podcast fit in to what you do? How does it fit into your business?
Yeah, man. So, you know, the way that it fits, it's really, I never saw it as being part of the backbone of my business, and it really has become that. And so, as my audience grows, the importance of my show grows even more. I knew that when I went in and started that I was going to be all or none. There was never going to be, I'm going to record a few episodes and then I'll take a few weeks off and then record a few more and take some weeks off. So I knew that consistency was key. And usually when I commit to something, especially something of this significant, you know, I go all in. And so that was my commitment to myself. But the way that it fits in is really the way my business is structured is it's all online, man. Like I don't work with anybody in person. It's all online and then through Zoom calls or, you know, scheduled phone calls with my private clients. And so with that being said, when people, when people get exposed to my podcast, it's the initial turn on to, hey, could this guy help me or could he not? And, you know, my mission is to help as many men as I can get healthy and be around long-term for their kids, be the leader of their family in every aspect. And I firmly believe that, you know, as a father, that we have a moral and ethical responsibility and obligation to lead by example. You know, kids do what we do way before they do what we say. And if you're the guy that's sitting on the couch eating Doritos and binge watching Netflix and you're 40 pounds overweight, but you want, you know, little Timmy to go outside in the backyard and play around and come in and eat his salmon and broccoli every night, like those things don't align. And so with my message, conveying my message to the world and letting people know the importance of, you know, making yourself a priority, especially as a father, so that you can lead by example and be around for your children. It just helps other people get exposed to me in a, you know, in a free of charge way. Like, you're the one that chooses whether you want to commit your time to my show or not. And if you like what I have to say and you like my message, then, you know, hopefully eventually that grows into a closer relationship. And then I can get you into one or more of my programs that could help you further. And so that's kind of the way that it helps leverage my business right now.
Right. So kind of like a top of the funnel, that the podcast is one of the main ways that your message reaches a wide audience. And then from that, hopefully, right, some people will hear that message, get excited, and, you know, relate with what you're saying, feel comfortable with what you're saying and with you. And then that moves to becoming a client. So how have you set up your process to have it so that listener finds your podcast, they listen to it? Well, what are the steps you take them through to go from that to on a phone call with you, right? Or like to become potentially a client?
Yeah. So, excuse me. You know, the way that works really is just me trying to channel them to either my basic, my low ticket subscription program, which gives them access to my fitness app, which has a whole library full of workouts. It gives them access to my private Facebook community, which it's called the Man Up community. And so these guys are all in there looking to become the healthiest version of themselves. And so they've got access to my app. Like I said, the app is very intuitive. It integrates with Fitbit and MyFitnessPal, and then helps them track all of their progress. So essentially the app sells itself, right? But the additional value is being added to my newsletter, where I keep them up to date with men's health information. I give out a healthy recipe every week. I give them, you know, I keep all the announcements on the newsletter to tell them what's new with the group and if there's anything that's added. We do some fun stuff like dad jokes and cheat meal recommendations, beer recommendations. So it's just a lot of fun surface level, you know, value. And then the real value is found within the community, because these guys are all in there cheering each other on. They're posting pictures of their workout. They're posting pictures of their meals, trying to get feedback, trying to, you know, I've got guys in there losing weight. I've got guys in there putting on muscle mass. I've got guys in there trying to quit smoking. So really there's no stronger force than community. And so if I can get them in that community to begin with, that's priority number one for me, because I know how much it will help their life, right? If you're struggling with your health and you need support and accountability, there's no more powerful force than community. Like I said, it's helped me in my own fitness journey, and I know how powerful it can be. So to answer your question, it's getting them to follow me on Instagram. You know, and I just talk about my Instagram page, the value that I add over there, what I do in my stories, and letting them know, hey, you know, you're going to see some of the food that I eat. You're going to get access to my articles that I write and a lot of that, because I use the swipe up feature so they can go into my Instagram stories and really take a glimpse into my life and see how I've figured this healthy lifestyle out without giving up my favorite foods, as you see my logo with the beer and the burgers. So, you know, it's about getting them to follow me on social. You know, I just say, hey, go to @dadbodhealth, go follow me there and let's connect. And then I also channel them, and I don't do it every episode, because my intentions are not to pitch people on my services, but it's my moral obligation to help you if I truly believe that you can use my help, right? And so, you know, I'll just say, hey, go follow me at @dadbodhealth on Instagram. And if you haven't joined the Man Up community yet, go to www.themanupcommunity.com. Come get your 7-day free trial. Come see what it's all about. And then after that, it's only $9.97 a month. So it's a very, it's not so scripted, but I throw that in fairly often so that they know what's available to them. Like most people want help, but they're not going to buy if you don't make sure they know what's available to them. And so one thing I've been trying to get better about in my own business, because there's a fine line between spamming people all the time with sales pitches and every post is about sales, but also, you know, going completely dormant with sales. So I'm trying to get that happy medium to where my audience knows what I have, and knows how, if they need my help, that I can help them. But I also don't come across as, you know, this sales jerk who cares nothing about nothing else but his business. Cause I'm very active on social outside of just talking about health and fitness, even though a lot of my posts surround that or, you know, revolve around that. It's just not, hey, come buy my stuff. It's like, hey, this is what living a healthy lifestyle has done for me, and this is how it helps my life, if that makes sense.
Right. And then, I mean, all you can really do is show people, hey, you know, this is what I do. This is how people have been affected by what I do. And if you're interested as well,
come join. Yeah.
And that's especially, I mean, there's definitely is a happy medium. That's very important to find a happy medium, because the first instinct, you know, when you're going on social media thinking, okay, you know, I have a business. First instinct is, okay, let's make a lot of posts. So, hey, I do this. My services are so amazing because of blah, blah, blah. And it costs this much. You should totally buy it. That's an instinct, but that would drive people away as opposed to just simply giving value. And then every once in a while, throwing in something at the end, like if this is something that interests you, you know, let's talk about it. Reach out.
You're exactly right. I try to do it, you know, two or three times a week, throwing in something, and maybe it's just my low ticket offer saying, hey, come get your 7-day free trial. You know, I'll make a post and just kind of talk about my story a little bit and then say, hey, that's why I started the Man Up community. If you're ready to join, come get your 7-day free trial. And if not, no love lost, right? Like I hate the approach that you described of constantly posting about business. You know, people are on Facebook to be entertained. People are on Facebook to consume content, to be inspired, to be motivated. And so they don't always want to see what you have for sale. And you're right. I think a lot of people, you know, and it screams desperation when you do that. You know, like when you're the guy that's always, or the girl that's always talking about, here's what I have for sale. It's like, you must be really hurting because that's all you talk about. And that's certainly not the way you want people to see you and see that's the way you run your business.
Exactly. And I mean, like say your business is about health. So talking about health is, even though that's technically talking about business, if you will, for you, it doesn't have to be from a sales standpoint.
100%.
Like I do podcasting. So sometimes I might share one of my clients' episodes and be like, man, this is some incredible value.
No doubt. Listen to
it. I'm not like, I did this episode. It's so great. Don't you think? I should do yours too. Like that's not, you can show people what you do. And you can make people aware of what you do and that like they can benefit from it without actively trying to sell
for sure
via Facebook or Instagram or something like that. So that's
no doubt.
Yeah, that's a very interesting interesting perspective. Yeah, I'm happy that I don't think I've had that specific conversation with a guest before when it comes to the social media and using the podcast to get,
you know, and that's how you build trust and credibility with your audience, is that, you know, again, they want to be able to relate to you as a person. We're not a robot. You don't need to be, you know, spamming people with, you know, your sales pitch. You know, and I'm sure you get these too, the DMs on social media where it's just a link and they never even said hi. I'm like, unfriend, you know, it's not a hard concept here. But you know, that's just a very tacky way of going about it. And I would rather be tactful than tacky. And when you approach it in the right way, people start, you know, people buy when they know, like, and trust you. And no one's going to like you or trust you if all you're doing is talking about what you have for sale all the time. And so, yeah, there is definitely a happy medium for sure.
Yeah. And how has, I found this to be true, that a podcast helps with that know, like, and trust. Has having a podcast helped develop that know, like, and trust with people out there?
I think so. And you know, you have to realize too, with somebody like me, I've been told, actually, it's hard for me to see because I have no way to track this metric, but I've been told by many people that, you know, when we get on a sales call or when they DM me about what my services are or anything like that, I've heard quite a few times that, hey, I've been watching you for about 6 months now, or hey, I've been watching you for about 8 months now. And so you know, people want to get to know you and really what you're about before they're going to buy in most situations. Now, if it's a product versus a service, it could be different, right? Like if you've got an actual product or you're selling shirts and I like your shirt, but I don't care about your personality, well, then I still may buy your shirt because it's a cool shirt. But for somebody like me who like my, you know, the thing that I'm best at is working with people one-on-one, working with my private clients and really having that personal touch with my coaching programs, then that's a relationship that kind of has to develop, even though you might not know the person, if that makes sense. And so they need to get to know you and get to like you and get to trust you. So my podcast, it's less than a year old now. And so I think that, you know, I'm in this for the long game. And so I think that playing the long game here, I think some of the people that have been listening to my podcast for a while will start to come out of the, you know, out of the woodworks saying, hey, I'd like to work with you because I've been listening to your show now for a year and it sounds awesome. Right. And so I definitely think that's going to happen. I don't know that I can definitely say that it's definitely helped with trust factor because I have people reaching out all the time saying, hey, I've listened to 2 episodes of your podcast. I love it. I'm subscribed now and I'm going to keep tuning in. Well, that may or may not mean they're ever going to buy from me, but the fact that they're now connected with me somehow gives me a much better chance at them becoming a customer down the road.
Right, exactly. So let's transition just a little bit into the podcast itself.
Sure.
And how involved you are in the process. What parts of the podcast process do you handle yourself and what parts do you outsource?
I used to do it all, man. And I'll tell you, it was doable, but it was a nightmare. And I used to film it down in my dining room. I'm upstairs in my office right now, and which now this is my podcast headquarters, but hence the wall. Yeah. But with that being said, I cannot lie and tell anybody out there who's thinking about starting a podcast, you should absolutely do it to figure out if it's a medium that you want to use and leverage for your business, or maybe it's just for fun, right? Like if you're cool with hopping on Anchor and you don't care about, you know, them owning the rights to your show and all that stuff, fine and dandy. You know, I have a friend who is in my Man Up community who reached out and said, hey, I just want to start this podcast. It's a very unique niche, but I love talking about it and I love reading about it. And so it's some kind of like, I don't know, mystery history or something. It's something weird. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, his plan is never to leverage that for his business. That's not his concern. So it's just a hobby for him. But for me, I, you know, really was like, okay, I can only keep up with this for so long because I started off with 1 episode a week. And then when I decided to start doing interviews, then I was like, well, I don't want to lose my audience. I don't want to lose my voice and lose my platform. And so I refused to give up my solo show, but I definitely want to bring guests on. I was like, well, I'm going to do that. I can't do it every other week. I don't want to just do 4 episodes a month. I want people to be able to get more value than that. So I was like, I'm going to do 2. There's plenty of people to interview. And so I'll never run out of that. And I probably won't run out of things to say because I can just talk about my current events in my life if I have to and just relate those to how it's helping me with my healthy lifestyle. So to answer your question, in the beginning, I was handling it all. And when I say all, I was making, you know, the little Instagram clips for my page, the Instagram clips for my stories, putting the transcription on there, sending those to the guest, making all the thumbnails to post all over social, my Facebook business page, LinkedIn, Twitter, you name it, man. And it just became too much. And so I finally decided that I was going to hire a company to do that for me. And, you know, my time has gotten significantly more flexible because of that, because now I don't have this 4-hour-a-week commitment where I have to do all that stuff. So I think that's the main takeaway for anyone thinking about starting, is that you've got to decide at what point, you know, do you want to use this as a tool to grow your business? And if you do, maybe it's a much better opportunity or option for you to hire it out. Because when I hired it out, I'll tell you, man, it was a game changer for me in terms of, wow, like that was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders, and it just helped me a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's amazing. And would you say that, so you've hired it out, you're spending money on the podcast editing process. Is it still worth it to you, do you think, to have it be a part of your business, even though it's costing money?
Oh yeah. So right now, again, like I told you earlier, I'm playing the long game. And so I'm not expecting an ROI off of my podcast right now. And so, but I also know that it's an important piece to an online business for somebody like me who really loves to talk about health and what it's done for my life and really trying to get my message across to people. So it gives me a platform to be able to share for people who may or may not be connected with me on social or who quite frankly can't spend, you know, more than 10 minutes on Facebook. Like, if you're not totally zoned into what I'm doing and you're not going to my personal page every day and reading my posts, which is not common for most people, then the podcast gives you an opportunity to listen to it on your commute or listen to it in the gym, which a lot of my guys do. You know, I keep my show to around anywhere between 25 and 40 minutes. So it's not a huge time commitment.
Is that for both the solo and interview episodes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry. And so the interviews will go a little, so solo is probably 25 ish, 30, and the interviews will be a little bit longer. So they may go 45 on occasion, but most of the time I try to cut it around 30 because I respect people's time. I want people to know that I'm here to provide you value, but I also don't want us to blab about the same topic every single time. And so I'm bringing in guests to give you their point of view and give you actionable steps that work for them. And hopefully you find value in that. But again, I don't want to take a whole hour of your time. And that's just a personal decision. I know that I don't like to listen to an hour long podcast. I usually have to break those up. And so I just viewed it from my point, or I took my point of view and kind of was like, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. And so, but yeah, so in terms of your question, the ROI piece, man, like, again, I'm playing the long game here, and I will continue to invest with the podcast piece for the foreseeable future, you know, unless something disastrous happens. So it's not the cheapest bill that I've ever paid, but the amount of work that they're doing, you know, I'm doing, it's 8 episodes a month. And so they put it on my website. They make a blog post on my website. They post a podcast on my website. They put it on YouTube. They put it on, the only thing they don't touch is Instagram. And the only reason they don't touch Instagram is because I don't want the podcast post itself to be on my main page. I was just using it in my stories because I got away from that. So my Instagram now is all either my own pictures or videos with me in them. And I wanted my face all over my brand. And so I got away from putting videos of my podcast on my page. I used to do that. And so when I made that decision, the only thing that they would potentially be able to do would be to put it in my story. Well, they like to program this stuff out and schedule it. And so they would need somebody to manually put it in my story. Well, the drawback there was that I like to actually talk about the podcast a little bit while I'm posting about it and then give them the option to swipe up if what I said was interesting enough for them to swipe. And so them just putting a thumbnail saying swipe up doesn't have that personal touch from me. And so I just told them to hold off on that, but they handle Twitter, they handle LinkedIn, Facebook business, YouTube, my website. And yeah, man, it's everywhere. And I love it because it's constantly coming out. You know, I have something, basically something every day coming out about my podcast. And then when I see it, I share it and it just gets more exposure. So it's been great. And like I said, I won't give it up unless something disastrous happens.
Right. Exactly. And I've found as well that there are always going to be, for different people, there could be different parts of the podcast process that they want to keep doing themselves.
Sure.
Because outsourcing, that doesn't mean you have to outsource every single thing. Like I have some clients, because I do the podcast producing work. That's what my business is. And I have some clients who will because their podcast is very niche and very specific. I have one about Facebook Messenger marketing and chatbots. Well, okay. I'm not actually trained in chatbots or Facebook Messenger marketing, so I don't so I don't know a lot of those crucial keywords that they want to see. So they send me a title they want, right? Okay. And a short description of an episode that contains some of those keywords that they want that I probably wouldn't think to put in. I can create a title and a description, but if it's a really niche specific, industry specific podcast, I might not include some of those keywords. And like you said, you know, your podcast is you. You are you. No one you outsource can be you. So some things you might have to do yourself. Like if you want that personal touch on an Instagram Live, then you got to make the personal touch on the Instagram Live. But that is still so much less time than having to do every part of the
process. Oh yeah, man. Look, I wouldn't trade it. I'm telling you, man, like, and this is not my plug for you. This is me being honest. Like it was a huge weight taken off my shoulders. Now I'll tell you, if I was only doing one a week, then I don't know that I would hire the company. But two a week and really continuing to pour value into my audience, it was too much, man. And I'm glad that I don't regret anything about the change that I made.
Yeah. And it also comes down to as well, what's more valuable, the money you spend on outsourcing or the time you would spend on doing it yourself?
100%.
Yeah. Cause there comes a point where, especially if you have certain income goals, you can break it down to like even hourly.
Yes.
And so you think, okay, I spend $100 a podcast episode, takes me an hour to do it. Is my time only worth $100 an hour or is it worth more than that?
No doubt.
So if it's worth more than that, then, you know, you won't be in the red with podcast editing, even though it might feel like it, because I know for a lot of people, a podcast in and of itself isn't like an income generating machine, unless you maybe have a sponsor or something.
Sure.
So it's difficult for some people because there's no actual money coming in. Do you have like a sponsor or affiliate links you use, or is it just for the marketing and audience building?
Yeah, it's just audience and marketing and audience building, man. I don't do... no sponsors right now. The only, you know, I'm hesitant to go there, just cause I don't want to do that to my audience.
Yeah.
The offer would have to be pretty enticing for me to even consider it. You know, I would be dumb to turn it down if it was too much to pass up, but at the same time, like I value my audience's time and, you know, I respect their time. And so I don't want to have, you know, multiple ads cutting in. That they have to, you know, that they have to listen to. And so that's kind of my stance.
Yeah. And I feel like it might be different as well. Like for example, if there's some kind of equipment or some kind of product that you use, or just like anyone who has a podcast, if there's something really specific that they use that they love and they find a lot of value with and they like offer to be a sponsor or something.
Yeah, no doubt.
That definitely would be a good opportunity because you'd make some extra money. Plus you'd be, you know, it's something you believe in as well.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. You know, like if Tide laundry detergent came and approached me, like no way. But if the protein powder company that I use approached me, then you know I can talk about that in my podcast and say, hey guys, you know, like I've got this new sponsor. I believe in their stuff. I'm not trying to spam you, and I'll give them a warning. You know, like it's my show. It's my platform. And if I have to do that, then I have to do that. So yeah, I think it would be case dependent, but yeah, I think you're right for sure.
Yeah. But that's, yeah. So I'm happy that it's still worth it for you, even though the podcast in and of itself isn't bringing in any money. Cause a lot of people are very hesitant about starting a podcast because of that reason. But
yeah. And I think again, going back to what I originally said, you need to decide what your vision is for your business, right? Like if this is a hobby for you, then, you know, hiring a company to manage your stuff probably isn't the right choice. But if you're planning on being in business for a while and you want your audience to grow and you want the maximum exposure for your show so that you have a platform to be able to, you know, to provide value to people so that they can clearly see, hey, like this guy or this girl really has a lot that they could potentially offer me. I want to check them out a little bit more, you know, those are what turn into leads that help your business, but you're also helping those people. And so for me, I want to help as many people as I possibly can. I have a mission to help 1 million men. Like it's a lofty goal. And so having a podcast is kind of a crucial thing for me at this point.
Yeah. So as we wind down the podcast, I like to ask, for those people out there who are still unsure about whether or not a podcast would be right for their business,
yeah,
or for their life, what would you say to them? What would be your number one tip?
I think, you know, probably echoing what I just said, you know, really, really getting clarity on your business and what you want to do with your business long term. And then what kind of market you're in. Like, I'll tell you that, you know, I've got a guy who that I just interviewed. He's in my network, a friend of mine, but he has a very, very specific market. He does, they install like GPS tracking devices on vehicles, like very, very specific, right? And he has a podcast and he has an audience. And so will he be able to monetize that in any way? I don't know. We didn't really get into that. But I think that's what you have to realize too, is like, what is your focus for your business? And do you feel like if you've got these negative beliefs or this negative self-talk that you're saying, well, my customers don't listen to podcasts, or my customers aren't on Instagram, or my customers aren't on Facebook, then I think you're kidding yourself. Because at the end of the day, man, like Instagram, you know, and Facebook, I think Facebook has over, I think, 2 billion users. Instagram crossed over 1 billion not long ago. You have 3 billion users combined on the platforms, probably some crossovers there, but regardless, say it's 2 billion people. Well, there's like 7 billion people in the world. So you're talking about literally like damn near a third of the world is on social media, and you're going to tell yourself that your customers aren't there. Like, that's false. And so same thing goes with podcasts. I think that podcasts aren't going away. They're only going to get bigger. They're only going to get stronger. It's a huge convenience thing for people. You know, it's all about the immediate gratification thing, right? With a podcast, you can go push play on any episode that you want at any time of the day. And if that's the convenience we have in society these days. And so this is not going away. And I think, again, the biggest thing that you need to figure out is clarity within your own business. Like, do you want this to be a driving force to build your audience, potentially get you leads so that you can help more people? If you don't want that and you're going to solely rely on social media with no podcast, more power to you. I just think your opportunities are much greater opening up and starting a podcast. Believe it or not, people want to hear what you have to say. You just might not be in front of the right people. Because somebody out there, you have an audience. You just need to find that audience.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Incredible value. So for those out there who are interested in what you have to say and in Dadbod Health, where can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So kind of what I mentioned earlier. So on Facebook, I'm the only Jason Priest with a green shirt. I haven't changed that, and I won't be changing it because that's what people know me by. But so Facebook, come shoot me a friend request. Love to connect. Instagram is at Dadbod Health. That's where you'll probably get the most value in terms of, you know, my stories, my page. That's where I post mostly about my business and my brand so that you can consume my content and actually learn some things about, you know, the struggles that I've gone through in my own life, as well as some things that could help you in your own life now. And then, you know, the Man Up community, like I said, www.themanupcommunity.com. Come get your 7-day free trial. It's a men's health community. We're really all looking to become the healthiest version of ourselves. And there's just a lot of supportive and really awesome guys in the community who are literally there to lift you up, and be lifted up along their own fitness journey. So those would probably be the best places. And, if you want to connect, man, come connect, and I'm happy to help you in any way that I possibly can.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today. I think that was one of my better interviews and one of my favorite conversations, I think. So you provided a lot of value.
That,
man.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, and I hope that your audience finds some value in that. And again, I'd love to get connected with anybody who wants to do so.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success. Make sure to head over to ipodcastedit.com check out the show notes and get each episode of the show delivered right to your inbox. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whichever audio service you use. If you want to continue the conversation or you have a topic you'd like me to discuss on a future episode of the show, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode as we continue down the path to podcast success.